WBA Mobile.
Steve, in 4WRO.
In 4WRO, KN4, VWA. What do you say, big guy?
What's going on? What are you doing out running around?
Now I'm paying for my habit. I'm out being a dirty, rotten capitalist and at the same time keeping a fella out of trouble with DHEC.
Okay, that sounds like a job.
Our regulatory commissions.
About like the CDC, right?
Let me just put it this way. I have to repeat that to myself 3 times every morning as I get out of bed.
Yep. Been doing any more HF or FTA?
Some. I've, like this past weekend, I had my granddaughter, and we just had us a ball this past weekend. And I've got this little radio-controlled tank. It's about, 18 inches long and about 8 or 10 inches wide. The turret rotates, goes forward, backwards, turns, and all that good stuff, just like a regular tank, and it sounds like a tank. And the gun on it even has a little recoil thing in it. Sounds like it shoots when you hit the buttons. And she asked me about that thing, and I got it down, and she'll be 5 in September, and she went nuts over that thing. She can drive it just as good as I can now.
I tell you what, those youngins with their hand-eye coordination, they make you look silly.
Going, I'm going to have her out there flying radio-controlled airplanes before she's 10 years old.
That's the way to do it.
Anyhow, her birthday's in September, and I think what I'm going to have to do is go ahead and get her a little four-wheel drive racing buggy, you know, and let her take that home with her. I tell you what, I thought she was going to wear the tracks off of that tank.
Yeah. Well, you know, we were out on the lake fishing a couple weeks ago, and we were down there by Oconee Point Campground, and I heard this little couldn't figure out what it was. Then I realized what it was. There was a young kid up there on the bank in a lawn chair, and he was running a radio-controlled boat out there.
Well, let me tell you something. Well, you may have heard him on the radio. N4MMW, Jimmy, man, he races drag boats. Radio-controlled drag boats as a hobby. I mean, they get serious with that stuff.
Yeah, you can drop a whole bunch of money in there real quick.
These are running a mixture of castor oil and nitromethane. You know, everybody has their fun their own way. Me, I do radio-controlled airplanes, and me and my granddaughter are building an O-scale railroad layout, and I would turn and do a few other things, plus my ham radio. So, you know, in the long run, hey, I'm really pretty much retired, and I'm just going to have fun. I'm turning into a kid again. Long enough and hard enough for it, might as well.
Exactly.
Fun.
Well, it depends on what time of the year it is. Could be fishing, could be sitting at the house drinking beer, could be a number of different things.
In the fall of every year, going into the winter, one of my favorite things is putting deer meat in the freezer from my front porch only half dressed.
Yeah, I hear that. I tell you what, we had a game camera I put out down here in front of the house last fall. And, you know, we got does out the wazoo and little ones. And on the 2nd of January, here stands a big old 8-point.
Did you pop it?
Nah, that's the only time we ever seen him.
He was. Matter of fact, I've got two bags. I got to go ahead and start putting it out. But I feed them corn. And I'm going to tell you what, that's some of the best tasting deer meat I ever put in my mouth. They'll go through probably a 50-pound bag every 10 days. And, hey, it's well worth it.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I got enough last meat till I go back down. I hunt down there in the Midlands, down around Sumter, Shaw Air Force Base. We got some couple farms we got the leases on down there.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I just quit hunting game management land. The last time I hunted game management land was about 15, 20 years ago. And I pulled up on this piece of property that I thought was in the absolute middle of nowhere. I got out of the car, and I heard some old boys in a pickup truck pull up about a quarter mile away, and they got out of their pickup truck, and I could hear the beer cans hitting the floor or hitting the ground out there on the pavement where they had pulled in. I said, son, I don't need this. No. And I just got myself on out of there. I haven't hunted any game management land since.
I have never dared hunt the WMAs. We dove hunted a couple times, and I said, nah, this is crazy. I ain't going out here with these idiots.
It's good that you got a hunting club?
Nope. Just me and another guy.
Wow, how many acres you got leased?
Probably about 250 between the two farms.
That's good. Well, and you know, since he's got you and one more fella, that means that you're not going to have more than about four or five people in there at a time, and he knows y'all, so he's perfectly comfortable with it, isn't he?
Nah, the only ones a hunter are just me and him.
Friend or family down there?
Well, a wife had went down there a few times. She killed her first deer down there, big old 7-point, first time she went deer hunting. I said, okay, now, let's top that one. But, no, it's just me and him. Joe is, he's, what, 88 years old, so, you know, we just plug at it. I take the camper down there and stay at the stay on Shaw at the air base.
Well, you're retired Air Force, aren't you?
Yep.
Enlisted or an officer?
Nah, I work for a living. I was enlisted.
When you came out, E-8, E-9?
Or E-7.
All right. Well, my son, Timothy, was an E... Yeah, he was an E-7 when he came out. But he got done kind of dirty. That put him as a chief petty. He did aviation maintenance. And he did the electronic maintenance. And what happened was, he was the top guy in his billet. But, you know, when he went to take the next steps up, there weren't any billets open, so he took the test two different times. He was required to, and if there weren't any billets open after you've taken it the second time, they let you go. They don't let you re-up. So he had 15 in.
Yeah, I retired in 91, and then it got crazy. I mean, they were... You know, people were jumping out at 15, they were jumping out at 18, they came out with all kinds of different programs and stuff. I said, no, I'm staying, and, you know, put my full 20 in and then go.
91, what'd that get you, 75% or 50%?
Nah, 20 gets you 50%, and then every year after that, it's 2.5%, and if you stay for 30, then you're at 75%. But as an E7, I could have stayed till 28, I think. But I said, no, anything over 20, you're working for half pay.
Yeah, that's about the size of it. You're right. MOS.
On the Air Force, they call it AFSC. I had two. I spent 15 years in law enforcement as an 812. And, well, what happened is we got overmanned, first time that ever happened. And they asked for volunteers to cross-train into some critical career fields. So I said, yeah, I'm tired of this. So I went ahead and cross-trained over into aircraft maintenance. That way I picked up my A&P license, you know, the FAA certificate. And I was a 432 or something like that. I don't remember.
So what was your airframe?
Dart, F-16.
How about that? Wow. Well, you know, being in the Air Force, you guys were a triple threat.
I'll explain that one.
When you bombed them, you strafed them, and then you fell on them.
Yep, then we went back to the club.
inter service rivalries were pretty funny, you know, as long as they were, you know, kept in perspective. You know, the Swabbies were always giving the puddle jumpers a hard time, and the Navy Zoomies were always giving the Air Force a hard time.
Yep, and 4WRO.
4VWA. Well, so you've been out since 91. Were you ever stationed down at Charleston?
No, I was stationed at Shaw. I finished out my 20 down at Shaw.
Well, in your travels and in your shuffling around, did you ever run across a one-star or bird by the name of Bishop?
Not familiar.
Retired out in about 94, I think. And when he came out, he was wing commander down in Charleston.
I didn't know him. That name ain't familiar at all.
Now, did you go ahead and take your civilian AP?
What?
Your AP testing. Did you have to take the AP testing for airframe power plant?
Oh, yeah. I did that when I was active duty. Yeah, all you needed was 3 years in the career field, and that gave you your time requirements. Then you had to go take the writtens, you know, the airframe written, power plant written, and the general written. And then when you got, I passed all three of those, then you had to go do a practical exam with an examiner.
Did you put it to work after you got out?
Yeah, I was CFII, and I was teaching at the time, and they asked me to, you know, help out there at the Aero Club at Shaw and over at Sumter Airport. And then two of my students actually bought airplanes, so I wound up doing all the maintenance on theirs.
How about that? Yeah, Ted Bishop was also A&P, and my dad and I used to fly. And Dad was partial to Moonies. He had a Super 21, and then my brother had an Executive. And General Bishop also had a Super 21.
Students bought a Mooney, bought a M20, I think it was an M20C, if I remember right. I'd have to go look in the logbook. We went up to Tennessee and bought it. I looked it over real good for him when we went up there and checked the logbooks, and we flew it back after he bought it. He threw me a set of keys. He said, you owe my insurance. Just fill it up with gas when you get done with it.
Valence. Now, that C, was that fuel injected or was that a carbureted?
That's something 30 years ago. I don't remember.
That was carbureted. separated, and my brother Scott had the fuel injected executive.
Thinking it was fuel injected, I know I had to rebuild the one of the magnetos on it. One of the magnetos was acting up. I completely rebuilt that part.
You replaced the magneto, or you went into it?
Nah, I tore it apart, rebuilt it. They make rebuild kits for them.
Yeah, a lot of the guys that they're APs, you know, they'll replace, but they won't rebuild.
Yep, exactly. But Steve did get a little excited with me one day when I found a crack in the motor mount. He wasn't too happy with that.
Tony, that's not that uncommon. Did you have it certified rewelded, or did you just replace the whole motor mount?
No, on that one, he said just replace it. So we pulled the motor, put a new mount on it, put it all back together.
Good airplanes are not hard to work on either.
And, you know, they were pretty comfortable to fly. And they were a lot of fun.
Nine,
bad spot. You were breaking up bad on that one.
I'm in a hole.
Bro.
Be back in there pretty good now. How about now?
Yeah, yeah. That sounds good.
What happened to my dad then, Mooney, Super 21, did I?
Yeah, you told me that a while back.
That was an interesting situation. And you know what? Seems to me like I see a pattern back in those days where the FAA just tried to take it easy out. Anytime there was an incident, they just tried to blame it on the pilot and let it go.
Yep, exactly.
They were going to blame those internally corroded bolts on Dad and the General for improper installation. Ted didn't take to that too well, and he kind of bucked up. And this was after he retired, but he still knew some people. And he had some metallurgists over at Clemson cut the bolts and examine them. Resubmitted to the FAA, and they backed off real quick. They went after Hartzell.
You know, sometimes you got to push back on it. If the bolts were bad, you know, in the beginning, if they put the wrong bolts there on that prop, then, you know, that's a mess.
KN4VWA. Well, it wasn't that they were the wrong bolts. They were the right bolts, but they had voids in them from where they were poured. And, you know, it was just crap bolts. They were just terrible.
Yeah, you must be getting another bad spot again. You're breaking up.
Back a little bit better now. You know, as a matter of fact, doing x-ray for a living, Dad and I took those bolts and we x-rayed them. Non-destructive tested x-rayed them. And man, you could see bubble voids in it. It was unreal.
Wow. Yeah, that would be unreal. But, I don't know.
Another example of the FAA just automatically going against the pilot. You know, it's like you're guilty before, you know, you got to prove your innocence. The two of them did a good job proving their innocence. They backed them off real quick, real solid. Matter of fact, pretty much gave them all the information and evidence they needed to go back after Hartzell. And I was kind of disappointed in Hartzell. That was their Hartzell station out of Florida.
The rebuild or new?
Sent the prop down to have the variable pitch zero timed. And Dad was always the type that, you know, if he sent something down, he says, look, zero time means the same as new. If you want, if you want to replace something in there, replace it. You know, you don't have to rebuild certain parts. You know, if there's a metal surface that has wear, you know, just go on and replace it. And when he set it down there under those conditions, and when they sent it back, he was expecting zero time, same as.
Had a batch of bad bolts, I guess.
What? When you go out to bid, the cheapest price is not always the best quality.
Yeah. Did they put out an AD on it?
Hartzell went back on their own and put out... matter of fact, I think they did a recall on the last batch of those bolts that they had gotten from that manufacturer. They went back and did a recall on all those props. Just automatically. Period.
Yeah, well, that would be the best thing to do. You know, if the FAA didn't put out an AD on it, you know, the manufacturer should do it, which sounds like they did.
Part of the settlement with Hartzell, because they wound up buying down a new zero-time engine. It wasn't too bad back in those days. It was about $22,000, $24,000. But that same engine today is going to be about $35,000.
Oh, I know. It's crazy.
That's remand. I wonder what a new manufacturer engine would run.
Your firstborn, your grandson, and your granddaughter both.
Well, we won't say here.
Right to that.
So what? You have helped me out with my travel time here. I've left Malden. I'm all the way up north of Spartanburg now.
That could be a help. I'm just sitting out here in the shack. Kitty cat curled up asleep down on her pad. Just killing time. Oh, I did hit the, on FT8, the Special Olympics, or not Special Olympics, the, special station for the Tokyo Olympics over in Japan yesterday.
Oh, really? Wow, okay. Well, do you recall the call sign?
It was 8 November 4, Oscar Lima Papa, 84 OLP.
Begin with a J?
No. Number 8. November 4, Oscar Lima Papa, Tokyo Olympics and Paralympics Special Event Station. Got them on 20 meters.
Oh, okay. So that's like a de-expedition where an American group has gone over there, got a special call, and set up. So that's not a Japanese station that's done it.
Not a Japanese station. The group running it is JA1HGY, so it is a group of the Japanese folks.
Okay. You know what? I wonder if that's part of that pileup I had the other day. I'm going to have to go back and look. How do you know that was them?
Call sign popped in, and it was weird, and I looked it up, and sure enough, it was them, so I went ahead and tried hitting them, and I was like number 2, and they came right back to me.
Wow, okay. Huh. Now, you said you were... What antenna are you using?
I got a long wire. It's 130 foot long.
Which way is it oriented, north-south?
It's a little bit off of north-south. It's more like probably about 340 on the north side to about 160 on the south side.
Just about 20 degrees off, man. Yep. How about that? Well, with my beam, I am according to N3FJP, I'm rotating to a bearing of 322.
Sounds about right. Oh, I was going to tell you something. I forgot what it was.
how much of a gentleman and a scholar and appreciator of good-looking women I am. Hey, you can't have a little fun along the way. What's the point in going?
No, I don't remember what it was. I seen Mongolia pop up the other yesterday.
You saw what pop up?
Mongolia.
Oh, get out of here. Okay. Wow. Well, so did you get them?
Oh.
Okay. Well, now, hey, were you on when they did that the expedition to South Orkney Island?
I don't think so. I don't remember getting that one.
Managed to tap South Orkney Island, which is one of the islands down in Antarctica. And they were doing a de-expedition down there, and they activated it. And I managed to tag them with 100 watt.
Upper conditions are right. I see Antarctica pop up every once in a while. I haven't got them yet. I've got Greenland and Iceland, but have not got, you know, down south.
Tell you about Ellesmere Island? Apparently, that's one crazy place. It's part of the Arctic, but it's an Arctic desert. There's no ice pack there. And this guy was up there at the Canadian Polar Research Center, and I tagged him up there one morning. And that was crazy. He says, well, tell me, how's the weather down there? And I said, well, it's pretty darn cold down here. We're only going to have a high of about 40 degrees today, and that's very low in the south, and that's Fahrenheit. He says, oh, my goodness. Oh, you're having a tropical heat wave. The high here today is going to be 58 below zero.
Yeah, I can believe that. Yeah, it must be just a rock barren area up there.
KN4BWA. Yeah, he said that, that what moisture is in the ground is frozen solid, and it looks just like a desert that's just as hard as a rock. And, I can't even imagine that. At least you could go outside, chip away some ice, and melt it. You had to have some water up there, but not where he is. They have to bring him in a water supply. It was crazy.
Carl, yeah, that sounds like it's crazy. Now, I just stay down here with the pine trees.
I hear you. Well, I'll tell you what. I think he's the pine tree.
Jump out of here. Kitty Cat woke up. She said, hey, feed me time.
Winner. Well, hey, I'll jump out, let you have at it. And, man, I enjoyed it this morning. I just crossed the river. Oh, and I'm in Cherokee County now. I'm about 5 or 10 minutes off from my destination. So, hey, man, I appreciate the drive and talk. You take it easy. And I will talk to you again soon.
All right, Steve. Drive safe up there. And glad I can make the trip a little bit more pleasant. Talk to you later. N4WRO.
You go. Let me ask you one quick question. Do you know about the HAM conference up in Pigeon Forge?
No, uh-uh.
Go on your computer and look up SEDCO. That's SEDCO. HAM. And it'll pull that web page up for it. They're having a ham radio conference up there. I think I'm going to go. They're doing all kinds of presentations on Gray Line and working with N3FJP and all kinds of good stuff. So, anyhow, check it out. I'll catch you later. Bye, guys. KN4BWA, clear.
All right, I'll do that. I wrote it down here on the pad, and we'll check it out. N4WRO.